Welcome to the Currency.News Talent Matters podcast, powered by Employee Financial Wellness.
Hello, I'm Rosanna Cooney, a business correspondent with The Currency, and you are listening to Talent Matters, a new podcast series in association with Talent Summit and sponsored by Employee Financial Wellness. In this series, we are talking to leaders in the world of work, HR and talent, discussing issues, trends and real life experiences. The interview you're about to hear is with April Jordan. She's a human resource specialist at NASA Johnson Space Center, aka she is the head of astronaut selection at NASA. The interview was recorded at the Talent Summit in front of a live audience, and we dove deep into the details of how astronauts are recruited and tested to see if they have the mettle and that very special moxie for space exploration.
So for people who don't know you, April, can I just ask you to introduce yourself? Because you have an incredible story, an incredible job title, which just has been blowing away anyone I've been telling this week who I'm going to be talking to.
I always like to balance that when I introduce myself. I have two jobs. One, I'm a deputy HR director for one of our NASA offices. And then my other job, which is the more fun, I think it's the best job in the agency, is I'm the manager for astronaut selection for NASA. So yes, it is a lot of fun. It comes with its challenges just like any other position, but it's a lot of fun to be a part of that program for our agency.
Okay, so I think the topic of astronaut selection, recruiting for astronauts is just, you can go so deep with it because the characteristics that it must take to be an astronaut, as well as the academic qualifications, there must be so many lessons we can take from that kind of in wider recruitment processes across industries. So I'm going to ask you, you know, what are particular characteristics that you're looking for that are outside those academic qualifications, ones that really stand out?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So, of course, we're looking for folks that have really strong technical skills. You know, we're a technical organization. The top skills that I would tell folks that we recruit for are not technical at all. We assess for those pretty early in our process. By the way, the selection process is about a 2-year process, so it's very long, lots of different steps within the process. But our top skill that we are selecting for is team skills. And so we're really looking at how do people function as a part of a team. Almost everything that they're going to do as an astronaut is going to be a part of a team. You know, when they're in space, they're communicating with ground control. They're living in a tin can. You know, think of yourself like the two of us squished in a tight spot for 6 months or more. You know, being able to have really strong interpersonal relationships, conflict resolution. You know, at some point you get tired of how your crewmate is chewing and you can't just go outside and say, hey, I'm going to take a deep breath and like walk away. Can't do that. So team skills is the number one thing that we select for. We're looking for folks that have strong leadership skills, but that can also follow. And that's probably more important than the leadership. We see a lot of great candidates, but sometimes you got to fall back into a leadership role. And so the way that we assess for that is really important to look at those observations. I'd say the other things that are the top things that we select for are adaptability. So, you know, AJ talked a little bit about having to be on course and you're not on course and what do you do? Things within our world change all the time. Our missions change. You know, when you're on space station and something happens, you can't call the plumber to come and fix that. You have to know how to do that yourself. So being able to adapt in unplanned situations, being able to make quick decisions under pressure with limited information. We actually hire a lot of pilots because they have that kind of experience and operational capabilities. And the last thing we probably, as the top of our top four, would also be their ability to learn. So if you've never been an astronaut, then you've never been an astronaut. It's not like you had a job before that really trained you how to do that. And once we select folks, we put them through a 2-year, very rigorous, like basic training for astronauts. And so what we're looking for are people that can be successful. So resilience, you know, kind of pushing through the really hard parts. Part of that training is being in what we call our neutral buoyancy lab. And it's basically this big swimming pool where we simulate an environment of doing a spacewalk. So imagine being underwater in a spacesuit with tools working on something for 8 hours. I mean, that is a lot of physical and mental strength that it takes to be able to get through that and be successful. And the final thing that's probably in our top four is being a really positive representative for NASA. So astronauts are the face of NASA. Most of the times that you see a talk, it's not by somebody like me, it's by one of them. And so having very good, strong character skills, if you're an astronaut and you do something funky, you end up on the 5 o'clock news where we live. So, you know, someone that has great communication skills, but also knows how to kind of self-regulate and not get into anything that's going to leave a bad mark for the NASA brand. So those are our top skills.
So in terms of the teamwork and testing for all these skills, you mentioned the kind of neutral buoyancy, being underwater, that kind of pressure, you know, aquatic pressure, but also temperament. But what are some of the other ways you kind of test and try people out?
Yeah. So during our selection process, I'd say when we get to the interview rounds, we basically try to immerse them in what it might be like to be an astronaut. So we bring folks to the Johnson Space Center, which is in Houston, Texas. That's where the astronauts live. And we probably bring 10 to 20 at a time when we're doing interviews, and we have them live together in crew quarters. There's astronaut crew quarters there. And so we kind of put them in there as a team, and already we're doing some observations and we get peer evaluations on how did you interact with your team when the astronaut selection board was not watching? You know, how did you make do and get the resources that you needed? We partner very heavily with our behavioral health organization. A lot of psychologists come from all over our country, and they actually help us run those team exercises. So there's a lot of individual things. We'll give them a tools exercise to do, and part of the objective is, can you complete it? But the other part of that is, what happens when I throw something at you that's not what you thought what your task was going to be, when I shorten your time by a few minutes and you're starting to feel the pressure. From a team perspective, we do team exercises with them as well. Same thing. We throw in some extra task for them, time pressure, and we alternate who the leader and the rest of the team is of that group to see how they function. The observations are very telling. Even for someone that's not a psychologist, if you're just watching, you can see a lot of things come out. For them, they're basically in a fishbowl for a week, and it's not very much fun for them, I think, but we get very positive feedback from them. So they're psychological evaluations that really test for temperament and resilience, and, you know, do you have the mental stamina? Because that's a big part of the job and the training. And also medical evaluations. When we talked about being underwater for 8 hours, you know, we need to know, is there something that is going to have you not be successful through those parts of the training and any mission training that you go into? So it's a realistic job preview for about a week for them, a lot of observations. We probably get thousands of data points on each candidate from this whole process. And there's some standard things in there. There's a standard interview. It's nothing, you know, we're not asking them to solve complex mathematical equations when they come in, but we do reference checks as well. That's kind of one way we get at character and previous experience. But the most valuable part is when they come and they spend the week with us in Houston and kind of live together as a team, and all the data we get at that point.
One thing I'm really interested in is, you know, the people that you do select, not everyone is going to go on a mission for one reason or another. So when you're looking in that week and interviewing them, are you thinking, okay, how is this person going to cope if they are selected, if they get onto the program, but they don't actually make it on a mission?
Yes, that is a part of that is letting them know that there's way more to the astronaut job than just flying in space. You know, outreach, I mentioned that before, but it's a significant part of the job. So if you don't like to go out and talk to people, this may not be a role for you. But that's a part of the resiliency that we talk about, and making sure that they understand, here are all the parts of this job. It's not just a glamorous, you know, everybody's going to know who you are, your life is going to forever be changed. We let them know there's a lot of ground support that we do there. Our astronauts go on to different jobs and different organizations because folks like to infuse that perspective into everything that we do at NASA. So the closer you can get to an astronaut, someone that's going to wear the suit, you know, have to run on the treadmill when they're in space, we like to kind of inject our astronauts too into other parts of the organization to get that.
And one of the things, you know, it was International Women's Day yesterday, and the theme of it was embracing equity over equality. And NASA and astronaut in general has had an interesting kind of history in terms of considering women in space, women's anatomy, women's medical histories. And I wonder now, in terms of selecting, you said, you know, it's so important to select who's going to be a good representation for NASA, who's going to be the face of it. How big a part now does diversity and gender equity play in who you're picking?
Yeah, diversity, we've focused a lot on that. In our last two cycles that we've selected, we've seen some real growth and kind of balancing that from a gender perspective. We work a lot with our diversity program officer. She's actually an in-room advisor for us during this period. So we talk a lot about bias. We talk a lot about the previous challenges that we've had so that they're all front of mind for us. But we pay attention to the diversity from the very beginning of the process where folks submit their application. So we're always looking at what the applicant pool is, you know, who is there. One of the things as we prepare for our next cycle is some really early recruiting, because we talk a lot about the pipeline, are the folks in our pipeline. So, you know, Tuesday, our group got here from NASA. We did some STEM outreach at some of the schools here. So we're looking at how do we kind of get the word out earlier and start to help build that pipeline so that we have those folks in our pool. The last cycle, when we look at our pilot foundation discipline group, I think maybe we had a couple of women pilots there. And I know that's kind of like a struggle for that entire industry. So our goal is to always select a class of astronauts that is reflecting the general population, because I think someone said yesterday at base camp, like, if I can't see it, I don't know that I can be that. So that's become a definitely bigger focus. We've had some work to do also around pay equity with gender with our astronauts. So in the government, our pay scale is very strict. It's been the way that it is for as long as we have existed. And so we found some new flexibilities to kind of equal that out, level that playing field out for our class last cycle. So that was a big step in the right direction for astronauts in general. I mean, again, everyone's coming into the job as a newbie. Even if you've got experience that lends itself to you being a successful candidate, you're still all starting at the same point for this particular job. So a lot of focus on making sure we're creating more diversity in all kinds of ways within our astronaut corps.
And finally, so there's been some suggestion that robots will be the future of space exploration and humans won't really be as big a part, if any part, of space exploration anymore. What's the sense of that in NASA?
Well, I don't have the NASA perspective on that. I mean, we do a lot with robots already. You know, if you look at like even the Perseverance rover that was on Mars, that's technically a robot. And robotics training is a really core piece of astronaut training. From a NASA perspective, I think we're always looking to explore further and further in the universe. So I think there'll always be a role for humans in our exploration. And as we kind of learn more about one particular area, maybe that is a space for robots in the future. Like now we're partnering with commercial companies, and commercial space and commercial tourism will be a thing one day. You know, that's because we felt like we've done all the things that we can do in lower Earth orbit. You know, we partnered with them. We want to kind of give that away and let someone else own it and go further into the universe to see what we explore next. So that's the whole point of going back to the moon to prepare us to go back to Mars. So I personally think there'll always be a space for humans in space, no pun intended. So I think robots could definitely be a part of that, and we'll just find something new. There's so much out in the galaxy to explore and discover.
It's pretty cool to hear you talking about this, and I know we haven't even touched on the universe and the galaxies in space, but has there been something particular that you've seen in your career at NASA, a moment that has just kind of blown your mind?
I would say that happens all the time. You know, one of the things that's really cool about working in this role is we have technical organizations at NASA, and then we have what we call mission support. So your HRs, your CFOs. And, you know, there's a risk that when you're not a part of the technical organization that you don't really see how you t- tie back to the mission, and I feel like I get that every single day. So every launch that we have, you know, I know those folks, and I probably cry watching it, you know, out of excitement, a little bit of fear, you know, hopeful that everything goes well. And that never gets old. Like every time it happens, I am in awe of what we do again. Probably one of my favorite moments is earlier in my career, which with the astronaut office. And, you know, I was off one day taking some vacation time, and I got like an urgent call, and it was from one of the astronauts. And initially I was like, man, I'm just trying to have a day off. And I get on the phone with him, and he says, I'm so sorry to bother you. I'm just getting back to Earth and getting settled. And I was like, ah. Sure. You know, we could talk about whatever you want to talk. So, I mean, it's awesome. We meet a lot of great people through the selection process. You know, we could probably pick a couple of different teams of people that would be successful in that role. But just getting to meet some awesome people, even if we don't select them for astronauts, there's some connections that still remain. I still hear from folks through the selection process that check in every now and then. So, yeah.
Brilliant.
Great job.
April,
yeah.
Thank you so much for talking to us. Really appreciate it. And yeah, it's been brilliant.
I also brought some NASA swag if anybody wants to pick up stickers, pins, patches. Take it all with you. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Brilliant.
You've been listening to the Currency.News Talent Matters podcast, powered by Employee Financial Wellness.